Hey, everybody. Okay, I'm so excited. I think I just peed a little. I'm so happy that we're all here. It's so awesome that we got such a good venue. Shout outs to Miss Mickey for making our poster and Callan for organizing the reading. So I'm going to introduce this chapbook that's full of our stories, which I spent 3 days making because I love you. Yeah, and it's just such a blessing to be in such an amazing class with such an amazing teacher and such amazing people. And I just don't know what to say really about it. It's just amazing. So I called it Just Words because I didn't really have that much time to like put pictures or do any of that stuff. So that's just what it is. It's just our words, and I think they speak for themselves. Everything on the inside cover is like our quotes taken from the forum. A lot of good and funny things were said this year, so I tried to do that. And what else did I want to say about the? Oh yeah, the two, like a lot of the quotes I took from our tips, the writing tips that Mikael wanted from us, and the ones at the back are two of Kellen's. Words can change everything and make every word your own, and I think that's like we really kind of did that this year, and we really represent that. So thank you, Kellen, for those tips. And I guess I'll just read my story. Oh, yeah. I have one other little thing to say. When I was making the chapbook, I went and photocopied it, and I was really in a rush, and I was kind of like worried about it and stressed out. And you just have to forgive me. It's a homemade chapbook. Some of the tops and the bottoms are cut off, but you know, it's okay. They're just words, okay? So just deal. Okay, so I'm gonna read my story. It's renamed Toilet Bowl Sunset. Oh, that's not the part I was gonna read. Just 1 second. On Sunday, the sky was empty and blue like plastic. Dawn put everything valuable in piles all over the living room and good food piles in the kitchen, which we organized by expiry date and what tasted good. Tomato paste, baked beans, unopened jars of artichokes and jam, crackers. I wanted to bring my animals and blanket on the balcony. Dawn said I could if I swept all the glass and threw the birds and maybe cat off. Only if you think you can do it, said Dawn. I wasn't sure if I could, but I did. I picked up the birds with yellow kitchen gloves on, lined them up on the edge of the balcony, and one by one said sorry 7 times. Beaks open like Dawn's mouth when he's sleeping. I watched their tiny crimson bloodied bodies falling, the space between feathers and splashes greeting each other, growing closer. Leaning over the edge so hard, feeling my heart pump in my crushed stomach and head rushing, I tried to imagine their little wings taking them back up, flying back up to where they belonged, before they hit the glazy water, which like a mirror shone neon colors back up onto my red face under shaky sun rays. I noticed the roof of the gas station had disappeared from where I stood on the balcony. Dawn said, "You're a brave girl, Leona. Your mama ought to be proud." Line gets cut. But I can remember it. Because I'm good like that. Dawn said, as a reward, I could be in charge of him for one thing, meaning make an adult-type decision, which he would obey. I didn't know what a balaclava... He said that I could check out his balaclava collection. I didn't know what a balaclava was, but when I saw the colorful masks with eye holes, I knew again. Not to be confused with baklava, Dawn said, a kind of candy from a turkey. He had 47 balaclavas because he used to be a taxi driver and he liked skiing. I put some of them on my dolls and animals and set them up in an arranged pattern as if they were posing for a picture, and I showed Dawn when I was finished. When he left my room, I started thinking about Mama a lot. I didn't know why she wasn't back yet, and I was getting tired of listening for the opening door sounds. Then I played a game where I was the storm, and I kicked the dolls out of their pattern and threw them against the wall. Slash bullshit! I yelled. I did what the storm wanted to do to me, except they had no closet. I wore the mint green balaclava with only one big eye hole. When I took it off after 3 hours, my white hair was staticky and like a frizzball. Sometimes Dawn would go exploring in the building, to try and find resources, he would say. Watching his back disappearing down the hall with my one foot out the door, I was too scared to secretly follow him. As soon as he got home, he tripped on an unplugged cable. I tried to help him up, but he moved me out of his way and locked himself in his room for hours, occasionally coming out to rummage through the bathroom drawers, cursing, crap slash bullshit. I stayed out of his way and kept picking up the phone to check for that long sound that never ends, but I couldn't hear it. I decided I didn't want braids anymore, and I wanted to surprise Dad when I saw him again. I came out of my room and found Don in the kitchen. I thought about what I get to make you do, Don. Oh, yeah? What? He asked. We play hairdresser, and you have to wash my hair and brush it and cut it and serve me a cappuccino, I told him. Don looked at me a little funny. We had never played together before. Okay, Leona, where are the scissors? I think he felt bad for pushing me earlier. I stood on the balcony while he sat in a chair behind me, snipping silently. The helicopters circled us, but we abandoned any monkey-armed wavings. He cut my hair to my ears like a bob and said I looked like one of my dolls and that I should have a name like Betty. Then he swept my hair up off the floor and threw it off the side of the balcony. I felt funny that a part of me that was up here was now floating around dead down there. That night it was really warm and quiet. The air felt like a sticky, buttery blanket. The sun went down and down and down and down slowly while Don lit the candles, which wicks weren't wet from the storm's water raining inside on us. There were no lights coming from other buildings around us like usual. We waited for the black, black night, but I felt okay because all my animals were there, and I talked to them and I told them where they came from and who gave them to me. I played with my Skip-It and went up to 972 before tripping. I did my homework, even though I didn't know when I would be going back to school. I was so hot I changed into my bathing suit. I knew I was just like a little doll on a shelf and that I didn't matter. I wish the president or God or anybody could cover up the earth with a big waterproof tarp like when we went camping with Mama's sister last summer, but I was like a naked Barbie someone forgot about, upside down in a toy box, whose hair was so tangled and knotted, and I was pressed up against the other unused toys like debris, with my nose smushed. I got a bloody nose from the heat and my boogers were red. Don came onto the balcony and asked if he could lie beside me on the blanket. I told him yes, but he had to take his slippers off. I think he felt bad about ignoring me. He helped me clean up my face, and I closed my eyes and pretended it was Mama, but everything about it wasn't Mama. His shirt was wet, and he smelled like wood. He had a red, prickly face. He had muscles in his arms and stomach that felt like thick rubber when he let me punch them. And I wasn't really ever scared, or really too worried, except about the toilet not flushing and having to pee in all my other pees and Don's pees. It was so yellow, it was almost orange, like a toilet bowl sunset. We kind of realized as I was reading it that I probably should have put it into a context because that was an excerpt and it wasn't from the beginning to the end, but it's just about a girl who basically her town is flooded and she's stuck in an apartment with some random guy who lives in her apartment. So that was that.